Lake Effect's Project Milwaukee coverage continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Before the break, we heard about the challenges and efforts to bridge the employment gap among workers generally at the lower end of the skill spectrum. But as we've heard during our series this week, employers are reporting the greatest degree of challenge in filling jobs requiring highly specialized skills. Jobs requiring engineering, chemistry, biology, or computer science skills often can't be filled with on-the-job or certificate-level training. And so bridging that end of the skills gap will require a workforce adept in the so-called STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math. They're fields that have historically been dominated by men. But as the baby boomer generation continues to reach retirement age, the demographics of the workforce are changing. But are they changing fast enough? It was a big enough question that it led the Girl Scouts of America to undertake a comprehensive study of the attitudes of girls towards the STEM fields. Kamala Modi is a research and outreach analyst with the Girl Scouts and the Girl Scout Research Institute and is the lead author of the Generation STEM Study. She explained to Lake Effect's Mitch Tyke why she believes it was important to undertake this research at this point in time.
Well, STEM is tied to innovation, and in terms of the job market, STEM is where the jobs are. So we hear so much about unemployment and it's so hard to find jobs out of college. But in terms of STEM, in terms of science, technology, engineering, and math, that's where the jobs are. Companies that need engineers are actually saying, we need engineers. It's easy to kind of say that there's a bias against women engineers or women in STEM, but we hear from companies actually that say, give us the women engineers. So the idea of unemployment and the job market is a little bit upside down in terms of STEM. And that's really where, when we think about 5-10 years down the road, that's really where the jobs are going to continue to be. That's where the jobs are growing. And it's important for girls to get on board.
Well, and it's interesting because years ago when we thought about manufacturing, we didn't think of it necessarily in terms of it being a science-rich mm-hmm. or a technology-rich profession. It was manual work. And to some degree, there is manual effort in it now, but it is much more of a STEM-related field.
Right, exactly. And we often think about STEM as just medical sciences or physical and life sciences and technology and just the very discrete STEM, but that includes manufacturing and it's it includes science and math and all different fields. So I think that's a big part of the conversation.
So it's funny. I asked the question, why is it important to be asking this question now? But we never actually said what the question is.
Okay.
So what was it that you sought to try to figure out and quantify when you undertook the study?
Okay. So the question was, how come girls are not interested in math and science? How come the numbers are so low? We see that women are advancing in their education and they represent half of the labor force in this country. But how come women are not really very well represented in science, technology, engineering, and math fields, just given all the advances that women have made over the past 20, 30 years? So we looked at some of the research. Stereotypically, we know girls are kind of, shy away from math. This is kind of the old school kind of way of thinking. But it kind of does exist today. And all the numbers really showed that girls are, I remember a study saying that girls lose interest in math and science as early as fifth grade. And that's got a little concerning. And the concerning thing the most is that girls and boys actually achieve similar levels in terms of math and science. Boys do not do better in math and science than girls. If they do, it's a point or two higher. It's not really worth talking about, to be honest. So we thought, okay, well, if girls have the ability to do well in math and science, what's actually hindering them from really taking it to the next level? So that at the Girl Scout Research Institute, we study girls' issues. We study what's important to girls today. We look at kind of the topic of study from the girl voice, which is a unique thing. A lot of times researchers do studies that focus on just stats and youth without a focus on girls and especially without a focus on the girl voice. So we said, we got to take a look at this. We got to take a look a little further as to why don't girls like STEM? And among girls who do like STEM, what's special about them?
Well, and so what did you learn about the prevailing attitudes among girls when it comes to the STEM fields? And how did those attitudes change depending on things like age and other demographics?
Good question. So we started off with some focus groups across the country, got some really interesting information among girls who were Girl Scouts, some who were not, some who were engaged in STEM activities, some who were not. And then we were really excited about what we found so far, but it was only 140 girls. So we said, let's do a more robust survey, a national sample of survey. Again, Girl Scouts and non-Girl Scouts, representative of the girls in this country. So we found actually very surprisingly and very encouragingly that 74% of girls are interested in the fields of STEM. So that really changes the conversation. That's saying now the majority of girls are saying, yes, we like STEM. We are interested. And in terms of the survey, we talked to high school girls. We talked to ages 14 to 17. And given that stat that I just mentioned, that girls lose interest in fifth grade, now these girls are older. They're in high school and they're saying, no, I haven't lost interest. I am very interested in these subjects. So that was very encouraging to us. That really suggests that at the highest potential that these girls, these high school girls that we have today in this country, could grow up to be the next STEM professionals in the future.
Well, and so then what do we know about why the gap opens up? Why, if there is still an interest among these girls who get to high school, why aren't they necessarily going into STEM fields either in two-year or four-year schools or on into grad school?
So that's the other part of the stats that we found. So we found, although 74% are interested, and among girls who say that they're interested, 81% are interested in a STEM career. Again, very, very uplifting stat. When it comes to choosing their top choice career, only 13% say that they're interested in a STEM career. So that's kind of where the gap happens. And some reasons why we think this gap happens is, one is they're aware of gender barriers. Two is their girls are encouraged to be very well-rounded in their studies, be good in everything, kind of dabble in every different type of subject. They're not, again, this is part of society. They're not encouraged directly towards STEM. They're encouraged to be in arts and sciences and entertainment. And, well, media kind of goes that way in terms of that. Social sciences, medicine, which is different than STEM. So they're encouraged to go into different areas, and STEM is kind of one of many. And then finally, which I think is the big, big thing, is STEM exposure is low. So even among girls who are interested in STEM, they don't really know very much about what a STEM career could be. They don't know about their STEM career possibilities. They don't really know a woman or even a person in STEM. And they have very little activity experience in STEM as well. So that, I think, is the real area of improvement that we need to do in terms of youth programming, in terms of getting more girls into Girl Scouts, to encourage this kind of programming. So that's really the next job that we have to do to get the exposure a little bit higher.
Well, and not to cast blame, but to cast blame a little, who is it around them that isn't necessarily stepping up at this stage?
That's a really, really good question. So we asked a lot about parents. We asked about teachers too, but we focused more in on parents because in the focus groups, girls were talking so much about how influential mom and dad were. So we found that among girls who were interested in STEM, of course, their parents are also interested in STEM and encourage them to pursue STEM. So that's the area. So not every girl's parents is saying, go into STEM. They're saying, be the best you can be, go for it, kind of, you know, of course, very positive, very encouraging, but they're not necessarily gearing them towards STEM. So we need to kind of get parents a little bit more on board. We also heard some things about teachers who may or may not be encouraging girls, maybe kind of even pointing girls in a different direction. You're more suited for kind of the health sciences or kind of the more administrative work. And if teachers who are supposed to be gearing girls to lift themselves up in life and really go for the highest levels of careers are pointing them in a different direction, that's concerning too. So adults really need to get on board as well.
You mentioned the gender barriers that they might perceive. But given that such a small number of girls cite a STEM field as their top employment choice down the line, is it possible to say whether those gender barriers would even exist if the number were higher, if it were 40 or 50 or 60% of girls who were interested in STEM then went on to essentially seek work in the STEM fields?
Mm-hmm. That brings forth the fact that the barriers that they're thinking about are barriers that maybe 20% of the women are experiencing in a highly dominated male field, and maybe they're kind of outdated barriers. I'm sure that they are true. We did hear that, you know, these barriers are well documented, but you're right. If more women go into the fields, then perhaps the barriers will go away. So that's very encouraging, too.
Is there anything inherently wrong with more girls going into non-STEM fields? Medicine, for example, is not a particularly bad profession. And even some of the other kinds of things, social sciences and essentially all these other fields that women have traditionally succeeded in.
Right. No, we're definitely not saying stay away from medicine, stay away from being a lawyer or a social scientist. I myself am a psychologist, so I wouldn't be running around saying don't be a psychologist. But, you know, these fields are really great. They're really, really important. But again, when we think about the job market and we think about kind of the growth of this country, we need engineers. We need technology professionals. We need scientists. We need researchers who are going to go and figure out this cutting edge research and really find the answers to the problems in our community. And a really important point that I want to make is that girls, when they're asked what they want out of their careers, they don't say that they want to make money. They don't say they want to be in charge or be head of the class or head of the organization. They say they want to make a difference in the world and they want to help people. And as Girl Scouts, we're really excited about that because that's what we do. So if girls are saying they want to make a difference and then STEM careers clearly make a difference in the world, it's not as obvious as maybe a medical career where you're a doctor and you're helping someone be cured with their ailment. If STEM careers help make a difference in the world, we have to really make that connection between what girls want and what STEM can do. So, again, this is a study that we did. We're so focused on STEM, so it's easy to say, go STEM, go STEM. But, of course, there are many other careers that are important for girls. We just want girls to have all the possible opportunities that they can get. So if girls are telling us, you know, no one's actually really talking to us about STEM, they're telling us to go somewhere else, then that we feel is a problem. We want to arm girls with as many opportunities.
And not that the Girl Scouts are the only organization that's involved in this, but clearly the study was done by the Girl Scouts and you work for the Girl Scouts. So let me ask where you think the Girl Scouts come in terms of the solution.
We are a leadership organization. We encourage girls to be leaders in their own life, leaders in their community. Part of the Girl Scout leadership experience, they're encouraged to discover, connect, and take action. So ultimately, they're going to take action in the world and their community. They start off with the community, and then they work their way to the world. So we feel that STEM fits so nicely into the leadership model. We have a lot of great partnerships nationally and locally with different STEM industries, different technology industries. And so we feel like the industries bring the expertise to us. So we can't go out there and say Girl Scouts is the answer to all STEM problems. That's very ambitious. But we bring in the expertise from other organizations, other professionals, and they serve as mentors to our girls. They serve as troop leaders oftentimes too. They volunteer. So we have really great partnerships that's helped us a lot. And then we continue to just teach the leadership model to girls, and we help them develop their competence, their STEM literacy, which is just kind of just being able to ask questions about the world, find answers, go out and figure out what you wanted to solve in the world and how you're going to go ahead and do it. So we feel like there's a really good connection there.
Kamala Modi, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Kamala Modi is a research and outreach analyst with the Girl Scouts of the USA and the Girl Scout Research Institute and lead author of a study called Generation STEM, What Girls Say About Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. She spoke with Mitch Tyke. There is a link to the full study at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Coming up next, former U.S. Secretary of State Madeleine Albright is in Wisconsin campaigning for President Obama. We'll talk with her about America's place in the world when Lake Effect returns after this short break.